So we're now in a position to understand the meaning of their second statement. Their statement that the Sutra of Golden Light nourishes them. We shouldn't take this sentence of theirs, this statement of theirs, in an exclusively literal sense. What nourishes them is the golden light itself, the light of the transcendental. So what does this mean? It means that the positive energies of the cosmos, the energies that make for balance and harmony, however powerful they may be, cannot sustain themselves, cannot nourish themselves. They have to be sustained, have to be nourished, can only be sustained, only be nourished by the transcendental. Left to itself, a positive energy, however powerful, will sooner or later pass over into its opposite, will sooner or later become negative. And this principle has important applications. On the level of the individual human life, it means that there's no such thing as purely psychological positivity. That is to say, a positivity whose support, whose inspiration comes only from a psychological source. There's no purely spiritual positivity even. The only true lasting positivity is that which has its ultimate sanction in the transcendental. Not only that, nourished by the transcendental, positivity will be more positive even on its own level than it could possibly have been without it. As the four great kings say, in our body there will be produced prowess, strength and energy. Brilliance, glory and splendor will enter our body. Here body does not mean body as distinct from mind. Body here means the whole personality, the whole being. In other words, nourished by the golden light, the four great kings will be greater and more king-like than ever, and they'll exercise their distinctive functions more effectively than ever. Similarly, one who goes for refuge will not only develop spiritually, will become more of a human being. Distinctively human qualities will be nourished by the spiritual, nourished by the transcendental. We could almost say that one cannot be a human being unless you go for refuge. Ultimately, it is only the enlightened man who is the perfect man. In Christian terms, only God can be man. On the level of collective human life, there can be no healthy culture, no healthy civilization, without some basis in transcendental values, however deeply hidden those values may be. A purely secular life, a purely secular culture, a purely secular civilization is really a contradiction in terms. I hope to go into this at some length in a subsequent lecture in this series. For the present, I'll say just one thing, just to prevent misunderstanding. The fact that a secular life, a secular culture, is an impossibility certainly does not mean that we in the West are flung back into the arms of Orthodox Christianity. There are other alternatives.